Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I believe, Pastor Joshua started a sermon series called Leader Equals Servant. Leader equals servant. And so I'm going to continue in that trend in that series talking about leader equals servant. And the foundational scripture for this series is in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says to them that the greatest amongst you must be a servant. And he continues to say that whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. So the disciples and Jesus' other followers at the time were used to a different type of leader. They weren't used to a leader who was coming to serve. They were under Roman occupation at the time, and the emperor during Jesus' time was Emperor Tiberius, and historically he was known as a tyrant and for terror. So that's what they were used to. He wasn't saying, I came to serve. He said, you come to serve me. Matter of fact, we're going to take you guys captive. And then on the religious end, they were used to the religious leaders that Jesus often rebuked, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who would take advantage of the people and exploit them. So these were the type of leaders that they were used to. They were used to corruption and tyranny and terror. And here Jesus comes saying that I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. That's in Matthew 20:28. He said, yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am the Son of God, but I am here to serve you. And we see that at the Last Supper with Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And Peter said, wait, I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. And he said, this is what I'm here to do. And so as I began to study this idea of being a servant leader, because that's what it is, being a servant leader, and started to look at different people in the Bible, different leaders in the Bible, to determine, okay, what are the characteristics of a servant leader? What type of characteristics do I see consistently throughout the Bible in different people like Moses and Noah and David and the apostles and Paul? What is a commonality in all of them? And I taught last week in my Hope group, so you get a sneak peek. You weren't there, you didn't sign up, but I'll give it to you. Four characteristics that we talked about were humility, selflessness, obedient, being teachable. The Bible says of Moses that there wasn't a more humble person than him. We see obedience in Noah, where he listened to God to build an ark because God said it was going to rain, and it never rained before. He didn't know what's rain. It's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. Build a boat. He was obedient. David, who after the prophet Nathan exposed his sin to him, he wasn't prideful and offended. He didn't lie. He said, you know what? My bad. That was wrong. And he repented. He was able to be teachable. And of course, there are other qualities of a servant leader that we should study and endeavor to emulate, like integrity, honesty, godly confidence, and the such. I think that all of these qualities should be evident in not just servant leaders, but any believer, and we should develop in our lives. I think that they are all essential for a servant leader. However, I believe that the number one quality a servant leader needs to have is a disciplined prayer life. Everything starts in prayer. Like all of these things that we're singing and we're believing for, like they happen in prayer. When we decide to take it to God in prayer, a servant leader must have a disciplined prayer life. A disciple, I think I mentioned this before, a disciple and discipline, same root. A disciple must have a disciplined prayer life. A servant leader must have a disciplined prayer life. And simply define, prayer is having a conversation with God. So we don't need to feel intimidated. I know that he is God, ruler of the universe, made heaven and earth, 6 days rest on the seventh, parted the Red Sea, raise people from the dead, but he wants a one-on-one conversation with us, and we don't have to be intimidated or afraid to talk to God and have a conversation with him. And a conversation is a two-way thing. It's not us going to God. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I thank you for everything that you've done. Give me everything that I want. In Jesus' name, amen. And then that's it. It's two-way. Conversations are two-way. Imagine if I was having a conversation with Jarlene, and that's how I had the conversation and then said, all right, bye. She wouldn't call me anymore. We would not have conversations. However, my grandmother used to do that when I would call her from college here. And she was used to, you know, long-distance calls being very expensive. And so I would call, and she was like, oh, hey, how you doing? This is a long-distance call. Okay, bye. And I'm like, okay, that was a nice conversation. So we don't want to do that with God. We want to listen. We want to listen in prayer. We're not just talking and giving God our to-do list. We are listening for what he has to say to us. Every believer needs to be talking to God and listening to him. But for a servant leader, it is imperative. There are 650 recorded prayers in the Bible, and the word prayer or pray are mentioned 547 times in the King James Version. In the Gospel, there are 37 references of Jesus himself praying. So we can assume, it's safe to assume, that prayer is important. God says it over and over again. He shows it to us over and over again. We see Jesus doing it over and over again. Many scriptures says that Jesus got away often to pray. He would get away. Like, he is God, but he needed to talk to God to get instruction to lead these people, because he's like, yo, God, these disciples, I don't know where you got them from, but let me pray for them. So some scriptures that talk about our prayer are Colossians 4:2. Paul tells the believers in Colossae, devote themselves to prayer. In Thessalonians 5:16-18, he writes, pray without ceasing. In Philippians 6:4-7, he said to pray about everything, not some things, not most things, pray about everything. Romans 8:26 says that when we don't know what to do, what should we do? Can y'all guess? Pray. When we don't know what to do, pray. Jeremiah 29:12 says that God listens when we pray. James 5:16 says that the earnest prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. The earnest prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, and that we should pray for one another. Matthew 26:41, Jesus tells his disciples to watch and pray. Matthew 5:44, he tells us to pray for our enemies. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. All right, yes, Lord, I will, in Jesus' name. Ephesians 6:18, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus to pray in the Spirit. So pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. When you don't know what to do, pray. God is listening to our prayers. The earnest prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Pray for one another. Watch and pray. Pray for your enemies and pray in the Spirit. I can pack up and go now. That is all the instruction that you need. It is in scripture. Study to show yourself approved. So we see through these scriptures and the others in the Bible, the importance and essence of prayer and for a servant leader. So like I said, in James 5:16, it says the earnest prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. So a few years ago, when I didn't have a car and I had to get public transportation that God has delivered me from, and I'm very grateful for that. So I would have to walk to the bus stop. It wasn't a long walk from my house, maybe a 7-minute walk to the house. And I've told this story before to my Hope group, so if you're hearing it again, all right, forgive me. But so I had to walk to the bus stop, and a man started to follow me every day. So he would follow me, and he wasn't saying anything, but he was following me. It did get creepy, but I wasn't afraid. And then he started to propose to me. Will you marry me? Okay, this is giving stalker, you might kidnap and kill me vibes. And I share it with a friend, and he's like, you need to go to the police and you need to report this. I said, what am I going to say? The guy is proposing to me, and no, I'm not doing that. And so then he said, well, you need to get a knife and defend yourself. I am not cutting anybody. He said, you need to cut his throat. I said, I am not doing that. What kind of advice is this? So then I go to my mom, because that's what you do. You tell them, you tell your mom. And I said, mommy, this man is following me. He keeps proposing to me. He's creeping me out. She said, let's pray. I said, all right. So she started praying. She said, I cover you in the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Then she said, I pray that this man disappears. I said, wait, hold on. I don't know if I'm supposed to be agreeing with this. She said, I pray that you never see him again. I said, what? She said, now you see him, now you don't. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, what? I said, amen. Guess what? I never saw him again. I never saw him again. He lived three houses away from me. I never saw the man again. The earnest prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. So when we see what happens when we pray, it's like when Super Mario, before he's super, when he eats the mushroom, and then he becomes little Mario, becomes big Mario. That's what it's like when we pray. I don't know if you guys have seen a meme where it has these little kittens and it says, you know, this is what you look like when you're going into the prayer room. And then after that, it shows these lions and it says, this is what you look like after you come out of the prayer room. That is really what happens. And that's what I feel after I pray. Like when I wake up and, you know, you don't feel like it. Lord, why are you waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning? This is, amen, sister. I said, this is necessary. And I roll out of bed and I stand, because I have to stand and walk, because if I don't, then I'm going to go to sleep. And the more I pray, the more I feel that power being activated in me. And I really feel like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because prayer activates things in us. So what does prayer activate? Prayer activates growth. It activates understanding. When I first started to study the Word of God, you know, and read the Bible, I know that most of us can testify to this. It's like, why am I reading numbers? Why am I reading numbers? They are counting stuff. Why are we reading this? Deuteronomy, all its laws, really, and the less interesting books. I'm like, what revelation can I get from reading this? But as I began to create a habit of praying before I read the Bible, I pray in the spirit. It's a spiritual book. I can't read it like I'm reading a novel, or I'm reading a textbook, or I'm reading a self-help book. I have to read a spiritual book with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So before I read the Bible, I pray in the spirit. And then all of a sudden, even in those books that seem useless. In those books that seem like they don't have any revelation, even in those books of genealogies and counting stuff, that Holy Spirit will give you revelation. So it gives you, prayer gives you understanding, revelation, acceleration. Breakthrough comes through prayer. Conviction comes from prayer. You know, when we're doing stuff that we're not supposed to be doing and we don't feel convicted by it, it's because we're not praying, because Holy Spirit will correct you. Discipline comes from prayer. Correction comes from prayer. Blessings comes from prayer. The supernatural comes from prayer. And power comes from prayer. All of this is activated when we begin to develop a disciplined prayer life. When we go to God, like I said, pray about everything. My big toe hurts, Father. I can't find my shoes. Well, yes, last week I left my shoes home. And I was wearing flip-flops. And I said, Lord, I can't go on the stage in flip-flops. I asked Miss D, where's Miss D? I said, I have a dilemma. She says, what's your dilemma? I said, I left my flip-flops. We go to her car. She said, I got shoes in the car. She has some booties. I said, they don't match my outfit. they don't match. So I start to pray. And the Holy Spirit said, you can use Uber Courier. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, revelation. Thank you. We sent Uber Courier to the house to get my shoes and bring them back before I had to go on the stage. And he heard and answered my prayer. Holy Spirit will bring revelation in Jesus' name. So we see in the lives of many people in the Bible, them having a disciplined prayer life. Daniel prayed a lot. Daniel ended up in the lion's den for praying, said, well, I'm not bowing or praying to anybody but God. But in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, this is a prayer that Daniel is praying on behalf of Israel. But what prompted the prayer was that they were in captivity in Babylon at the time. And Daniel remembered a prophetic word. He remembered that the prophet Jeremiah had written that they would be in captivity for 7 years. And he's like, wait, hold on, Lord. It's 79 years, 11 months, 3 days, and 22 hours. When is breakthrough coming? I don't know what the exact timeline was, but it was close to the 70 years. So he started to begin to pray that, Lord, you said that you were going to bring us out of captivity in 70 years, and we're almost there. Like, you got to move. That's what we have to do. Like, God, you gave me a prophetic word that my child would be saved. Like, where is that word? It has to come to pass. So we see that with Daniel, and God heard and answered that prayer, and that prophetic word came to pass. In Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, it talks about the prophet Anna, who prayed in the temple day and night for years and years for Israel. And God heard her and brought Israel a Messiah. We know him as Jesus. And then we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, Peter is on the rooftop praying. And while he is praying, God gives him a vision. It's a sheet with some what he calls unclean food. And God says, take and eat. And he said, nah, I can't do that. I can't eat anything unclean. And God says to him, don't call unclean what I say is clean. And then a Gentile comes and wants to hear about God and about Jesus. And so Peter knows from that a vision that he received while praying that, hey, this word is for him. So that's what happens when we pray. Like, God gives us vision and revelation and answers and instructions in prayer. John prayed in Revelations 22:20, come, Lord Jesus, come. I know that's a lot of our prayer right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I don't know what's going on. And in 1 John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, Father, make them one, like you and I are one. He prays for Peter. He says, Father, don't allow him to be sifted. And we know that God heard and answered those prayers. Prayers mandates us to be disciplined. Like I said, Jesus didn't pray when he felt like it. It's that he prays often. And in prayer, you have to be surrendered. You have to be surrendered in prayer. Why? Because surrender is necessary for intimacy with God. And in our intimate prayer time with God, we also have to be honest and vulnerable. So we have to be surrendered in order to be intimate with God and be honest and vulnerable. And I believe that we see this with King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, it says, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between what right and wrong. For who is able to govern the great this great people of yours? So a few things to know. This is King Solomon talking, and he says, servant. He says, so give your servant. He is considering himself a servant. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he asks for wisdom. He is vulnerable and honest enough with God to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I never had this job before. I am young. I need your help. Help me, Lord. And we have to be honest enough with God to say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know why this is happening. Help me, Lord. So In Ephesians 6:18, it says that we should pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. It says all kinds of prayer. So that tells us that there's more than one type of prayer. So a couple of types of prayers are petitions. So petitions is when, that's the one we're most familiar with, asking God for stuff. Petitions, Mark 11:24 says, Jesus says to ask for what you want in prayer. And then there's confession. We should be practicing more confession. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there is intercession. In Colossians 1:9, Paul writes to the church, since the day I heard about you, that he did not stop praying for them. And that should be us. When God put somebody on our heart and we're like, I don't know why I was thinking about David. Why am I thinking about David? Oh, pray. Pray for him. That's why. You can't figure it out. You don't know why you're thinking about whoever. Just pray. Intercede for them. Holy Spirit will tell you what to pray for. Prayers of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says to give thanks for everything. And warfare prayer. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, it talks about the full armor of God. We put on the full armor of God. And then it says always pray. So warfare prayer. So if you want to serve God, pray. You want to lead people, pray. You want to raise your children right, pray. You want to honor your spouse? Pray. You want to succeed on your job and not choke nobody? Pray some more. You want to do, who said amen? You want to do well at school? Pray. It works if you work it. It's like you have a car and you're like, it works, but you got to get in and drive it to get to where you want to go. So it works if you work it, and it doesn't have to be complicated. Let's not complicate it. Jesus' disciples said to him, teach us how to pray. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Almost all of the types of prayers that I said are in the Lord's Prayer. There is confession. There is intercession. There is thanksgiving. It's all in the Lord's Prayer. So you don't know how to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. You don't know how to pray? Jesus, help me, is a prayer. So I challenge all of you this week to be intentional about the time that you spend with God. And if you're just starting off, you can determine, hey, I'm going to spend 5 minutes every day with God, praying, having a conversation, speaking little, and listening more. And if you're like, I already do that, I already pray, well, I challenge you to be intentional about being silent in the presence of the Lord so that you can hear what he is saying to you. And I guarantee you that prioritizing prayer in your life will change your life. It's simply talking to God, allowing him to reveal, instruct, correct, encourage, and empower us. I was at a job site earlier this week. I work at a construction company. And I was with one of the employees, and her alarm went off. And she said, she's like you, Alex. She need to pray. So she set her alarm that 11 minutes after every hour, she stops and pray. She'd say, I need the prayer. 11 minutes. So in the middle of, she'd already told me. So we're talking, the alarm goes off. She just starts praying. So if you need to set your alarm to remind you to pray, set your alarm to remind you to pray. It changes the atmosphere. It changes you. And it is essential for being a servant leader. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We honor you and we thank you. for the gift of prayer, and that you give us instructions and everything that we need to do. You don't leave us to our own devices. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you lead and guide everybody into truth. I ask that you prompt us to pray, to talk to us, wake us up. Yes, wake us up in the middle of the night and say, I want to talk to you, and that we will take the time to hear and listen what you have to say to us, Lord God. We come against the distractions that come up when we say we're going to pray. I bind those distractions right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God, in all of the ways to pray. Teach us how to war. Teach us how to intercede. Teach us how to praise. Teach us how to confess our sins, Lord God, in prayer, Lord God, so that we can be mighty and powerful in the kingdom of God. And if there is anybody here who does not know how to pray because you don't have a relationship with God, God wants to have a relationship with you. And if you want to start that relationship with God today, you can slip up your hand and I will pray with you. We're all going to pray with you because God wants to get to know you, and he wants you to get to know him so that he could fulfill the promises that he has for you in his life. So if you want to start that relationship with God today, you can repeat after me. Matter of fact, everybody can repeat after me. Father God, I come before you humbly, and I repent of neglecting you, ignoring you. I submit my life to you. I surrender all that I am to you. And I ask that you start afresh in me today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.